If you'd like to listen to the Daily Blast, plus all of our other DSR content without ads, please consider becoming a member. In addition to no ads, members receive bonus content for virtually all of our shows, an invitation to join the DSR Slack community, access to our Discord community, and enhanced show notes for select shows. For this week only, get 50% off the first year or first month of membership. Visit thedsrnetwork.com/buy and use code GREG to receive the discount. That's thedsrnetwork.com/buy and code GREG. Thank you very much for your support.
This is the Daily Blast from the New Republic, produced and presented by the DSR Network. I'm your host, Greg Sargent.
In a new interview with Time Magazine, Donald Trump gives away the game. If he is re-elected president, he'd be just fine with anti-choice crackdowns in red states going to extraordinary and horrific extremes. Trump said in the interview that he'll leave abortion to the states, which is one of his favorite talking points, but when pressed, he suggested he'd be just fine with prosecutions of women who get abortions and even with states monitoring their pregnancies. In addition to revealing what a Trump presidency would really entail, this also could give Democrats a big boost in this fall's state-level elections because it ups the stakes around the question of which party controls state legislatures and governorships. Here to discuss this today is Eva Birch, a state senator in Arizona, where reproductive rights are very much on the ballot and the state legislature is up for grabs. Welcome, Senator.
Thank you so much for having me.
Let's start with what Trump said to Time Magazine. In the new interview, Trump kept dodging on whether he'd sign a national abortion ban, which, of course, the anti-choice movement very much wants him to do if he's elected president. He insisted he'd leave abortion to the states. Now, I think Trump would sign a national ban if a Republican Congress sent him one. But that aside, Trump was also pressed on whether states will monitor pregnancies. And he said, quote, "I think they might do that," pretty casually. And asked if he's comfortable with prosecutions of women who get abortions, he said, quote, "The states are going to say," also very casual. Your reaction to all that?
Well, I think that there are a number of issues where it's really important that the states have a final say. I think, for example, if you look at water in Arizona, what our water needs and decisions are going to be in Arizona is very different from how it would be in other states. But when we're talking about fundamental rights, it's sort of a ridiculous conversation to say that we're going to let states decide. Are we going to let states decide whether or not women vote? Are we going to let states decide whether or not child labor is going to be allowed in their state? Of course not, because there are fundamental rights that need to be preserved. So this conversation about leaving something that is so critical up to states is absurd and dangerous. And if we're going to expand the conversation into whether or not we're going to protect the health information of the citizens of this country, then we're really getting into even more dangerous territory.
Well, I think that maybe a lot of people who are talking about here probably would like all that sort of thing to be left to the states. But that aside, a big question in this election is whether the press will stop soft-pedaling Trump's positions. There's been extraordinarily credulous coverage of Trump's claim that he'll leave abortion to the states, not just in taking that at face value, but also with pundits suggesting that this is a moderate position and that Trump will be able to finesse it successfully. I think what this new interview shows is that when Trump is pressed on these matters, what he really reveals is that he can't outrun the consequences of Roe v. Wade being overturned, in part by three Supreme Court justices he appointed, which, by the way, he brags about to his base. Do you think he can outrun this?
Well, I definitely think that it's false to suggest that this is a moderate position and that people are going to be comfortable with this very moderate position. The reason that we know that to be false is that even in very red states, when abortion is on the ballot, people are overturning the damage that the states are doing to these rights. And what that really means is that we have someone who said they're going to leave it up to the states, but then when the states blunder, it becomes the job of the people of that state to have to legislate, to have to do what the federal government is failing to do and failed to do under Trump's leadership, and what their states are blundering. So, you know, we can talk about whether or not this position is moderate, but when you're losing in red states, I think that that's our answer. This is not an acceptable position to the people of this country.
It's certainly the case that in a number of Republican-leaning places like Ohio, abortion rights has prevailed by sizable margins. So let's talk about the impact this will have on state legislative races. In Arizona, the state legislature is controlled by Republicans, and the governor, Katie Hobbs, is a Democrat. You've recently spoken out about your own experiences with abortion, and Marilyn Lanz, who recently won an Alabama special election, also emphasized her own personal story. Can you recap your experiences and talk about what sort of impact it's having on voters to hear all these personal stories told about the issue? I don't know if we've ever seen it made so visceral and immediate before, have we?
Well, I think that if people can keep these stories private, they will, because it really is usually a private matter. These are health decisions, and they're difficult times. Nobody goes through these kind of experiences casually. It's difficult to have to live through it. There's pain involved. There's angst involved. And it has consequences to your own well-being and mental health to have to relive your trauma over and over and over again. In my situation, 2 years ago, I had an abortion in Arizona. And then just last month, I had an abortion in Arizona. Both of those pregnancies were wanted pregnancies, but I'm a high-risk patient. I've had a number of miscarriages, and in both scenarios, my pregnancy was not progressing, and I was not going to be able to carry a healthy baby to term. I was going to have a miscarriage. As somebody who has experienced miscarriages and has had bad experiences with miscarriages, I chose abortion instead of waiting for an inevitable miscarriage to take place. But in both situations, the first time 2 years ago, the decision that overturned Roe happened less than 2 weeks after I had that abortion. And abortion clinics closed down all over the state of Arizona, and I wouldn't have been able to get that care. And now it was just less than 3 weeks before the Arizona Supreme Court handed down its decision that I had that procedure here in Arizona. So it has been a bit of a nightmare, if I'm being honest. Every time that I'm able to access this care that is critical and that I need, I've then been faced with the fact that our governments are betraying us as women and as people who can get pregnant and as patients in this country and in this state. And so I do think that those voices, those individuals who can speak out and who choose to speak out, are moving the needle, because we have to realize that this is not some abstract concept. This is something that's going to play out in real life, and it's going to have serious negative consequences. Patients are going to have worse outcomes in this state. Patients are going to die in this state. Abortion bans are dangerous. And I think that we really have to highlight that in a way that is tangible, that people can see and feel and understand, that they can put themselves in someone else's shoes, is a really important part of the conversation.
Well, it's certainly wrenching the way you describe it, and it is very personal and powerful. I want to clarify that the state Supreme Court decision that was mentioned in earlier is the one that recently upheld the 1864 Arizona abortion ban, which banned it in pretty much all circumstances. And so that was an extraordinarily extreme thing and a jarring thing to a lot of people nationally, not just in Arizona. And I think focused a lot of people's attention on the issue, just as your story does, and just as other politicians' stories do. But in Arizona, I should clarify that there's also an amendment on the ballot this fall to enshrine reproductive rights in the state constitution, because the state Supreme Court upheld that ban. And I think, where are we with all that right now? What do you anticipate happening with that ballot initiative? I believe they've got the signatures for it. What's your prediction for it?
Yes. So this is specifically a citizens initiative, a ballot initiative that went to the people of Arizona for signatures. And they have collected over 500,000 signatures. They've gotten far more than what they need. But of course, we know that the signatures are going to be challenged. So it's critically important that we have a very broad cushion for how many signatures we have versus how many are required. But I anticipate that we will get the necessary signatures to make sure that that initiative is on the ballot. My primary concern is this. I think the ballot initiative will be successful. I'm not really worried that that ballot initiative is going to fail. I think it's going to succeed. The problem is that it's going to be challenged. And when it is challenged and when it works its way up the ladder of challenges in Arizona, it will end up before the same Supreme Court that just upheld a Civil War era abortion ban. So it really lends to the fact that we have to elect pro-choice candidates in the Arizona legislature. These legislative state level races are the most important races in this conversation right now. And I'm just hopeful that the support for the ballot initiative trickles down ballot to these candidates who are going to be there to support and uphold the will of the people of this state, because our current Republican majority will not.
Well, Trump has dramatically reminded everybody of the stakes in these state legislative contests right now. Do you anticipate Democrats being able to successfully point to what Trump is saying here on some of these races? How does that play? And what does a Democratic takeover of the legislature, again, the governor's already Democratic, so it would be total control, what would that translate into in concrete terms on the issue?
Well, first of all, of course, we cannot divorce from the fact that the only reason we're having this conversation is because of Donald Trump's Supreme Court decision making. I mean, he did what he promised us he would do, which was to put a Supreme Court in place that would overturn Roe v. Wade and would erode these rights and chip away at these rights and strip these rights in many cases of millions of Americans all across this country and certainly in the state of Arizona. So, of course, that's going to have a heavy impact on what we see at the ballot in Arizona in November. I'm again cautiously optimistic that these that the support that we have for the ballot initiative will trickle down ballot. But what I think is also really important to consider here is that we only have a one seat minority in both the House and the Senate in Arizona. And if we look at what happened in Michigan, where they were able to flip the legislature and were able to install a Democratic governor, it changes absolutely everything. We're able to repeal some of these really bad and dangerous laws that make abortion inaccessible and that really are destructive to the patient-provider relationship. Because it isn't just that we are limiting abortion access in the way of bans, but there are also just a number of other entrapments that Republicans have put in place over time to make it difficult to acquire an abortion, to make it uncomfortable for patients to seek abortion care. So we have to look at those laws as well, and just any number of bad laws that have been put in place by the Republican majority over the last decade or more that need to be repealed before we can even consider what we can do to make it a better place for Arizona and a more representative democracy.
It's certainly true that this is not even theoretical at this point. We're now seeing, as you say, in places like Michigan, where Democrats took over the state legislature, they've been able to actually repeal these bad laws. So there you see very vividly the impact of Democrats taking over at the state level. And we've also seen Democrats win a whole string of special elections, many of them in state legislatures, in large part because of Roe being overturned. And so in this cycle, we're looking at, I guess, the Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee, which is the political arm overseeing these state races across the country, sees the potential to flip legislative chambers in Arizona and in Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, and is hoping to break this GOP supermajority in Kansas. What's your sense of what kind of role abortion can play kind of nationally in these state contests? Do you see it really having that type of dramatic impact?
Well, this is obviously a mobilizing issue where people take it personally, because people across political spectrums, across religious spectrums, across any spectrum utilize abortion services. You know, we know that a very large percentage of childbearing age women are going to experience the need for abortion care at some point in time in their lives. And so it really does reach a broad audience. It casts a very wide net. And when you put in place really unpopular abortion legislation, that's going to cast a really wide net. So I do think that it also is going to bring people to the ballot box who maybe normally are not energized to vote, who maybe normally would stay home and would not be excited about local politics. So I think that that's one of those ways where it really does have the chance to flip some of these legislatures, or at least to move the needle in the right direction, is that they're energizing voters and they're getting people engaged in the political process who would otherwise not have been interested and not have wanted to be engaged. But when you know it's going to impact you, when you know that it has the potential to hurt you personally or people who you love and care about, it makes it personal. It makes it an issue that you care about more. And it is highlighting dramatically the impact and the importance of state races in a way that I don't think we've ever seen before, certainly not in my lifetime, where people are really realizing how important these state legislators are who are being elected into office and how their decisions impact communities in a really meaningful way. I think that for far too long, it has been minimized, the importance and the impact that state legislatures have on the people who reside in their individual states. And this has really brought it to light in a very meaningful way. I expect it to matter.
I want to pick up on something you said there, because it runs kind of counter to a certain school of pundit thought, and I want to get your response to this. Some of these pundits will say that these special elections aren't a reliable guide to what the electorate will look like in 2024, that reproductive rights might not be as salient an issue to the kind of lower propensity, less educated voters that turn out in presidential years. What's your personal experience of these voters on this issue? It sounds like you see things very differently and have experienced it yourself. How do you see these less engaged voters? Is that a challenge for Democrats in a presidential year? Does abortion actually reach them? What's your sense?
Well, I won't pretend like we don't have significant challenges with turnout in the Democratic Party, and that it extends to Arizona for sure. And I think that we also have challenges with down ballot voting and whether or not people are actually paying attention to those races. But again, I think that because this is such a personal issue and because it does impact so many individuals and because it is getting so much media attention, that makes it different. It matters that this is a hot issue that people are talking about vividly all across the country. It's on every news station and on every major news network in the country. People are talking about it more than ever. It is becoming a forced issue at this point, and I do think that it's going to matter. Now, in the state of Arizona, we recently did redistricting. We just did redistricting 2 years ago, and we have not had a presidential race in Arizona since redistricting occurred. So we don't know exactly what it's going to look like and how that's going to impact what the state of Arizona looks like. We don't have good data anymore. We don't have good information anymore because we've got newly drawn districts. Regardless of where those district lines are drawn, I do think that this issue is going to mobilize voters. And I do think that the attention that this is getting in the media and in people's individual lives, I mean, we're seeing it happen in states. We're seeing abortion clinics shut down. We're seeing restrictions being put in place. And so you're not going to be able to minimize that impact or pretend it isn't happening. Pundits can pundit, but I do think that we have to live in the reality that these consequences are being felt now. It's people are going through it. They're not just hearing about it.
It's certainly a remarkable thing that we're seeing such intense penetration in the media and in voter conversations, day-to-day casual exchanges between everyday people. You just rarely see anything that powerful really kind of resonating so strongly with people at the grassroots level the way this is. Well, State Senator Eva Birch, thanks so much for coming on with us today.
It was my pleasure. Anytime.
Folks, make sure to check out some new content at TNR.com. Alex Shepard on the media's shameful coverage of college protests about the war in Gaza, and Melissa Gira Grant on the true costs of Ron DeSantis' new abortion ban. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to The Daily Blast with me, your host, Greg Sargent. The Daily Blast is a New Republic podcast and is produced by Riley Fessler and the DSR Network.